This message is brought to you by the Eldridge Archives Library and Daycare. Does your New Year reading list already bore you? Does having the kids at home drive you crazy? Well, bring your reading desires and your children down to Eldridge Archives Library and Daycare and fix all of your problems. Dig into a wide range of chaotic, time-twisting prophecies and offer yourself to the impending occupation of Cthulhu in all his wonder. And don't worry, we'll take care of the kids. Come by and see us today as if your soul depends on it. Or not. You'll get us all soon anyway.
In the heart of the internet, where tales and wisdom blend, a podcast blooms like wildflowers with musings round each bend. Qualified Nonsense, it is named, a haven for the wise, where laughter dances with the truth beneath the azure skies. Oh, gather ye, good folk and friends, with hearts both light and keen, for in this space of whimsy bright, we ponder what life means. From love's sweet trials to fortune's whims, we share our heart's lament. With jests and jibes and sage advice, our nonsense is well meant. So lend your ear to stories told, both earnest and absurd, for wisdom often wears a mask, a playful jest unheard. Join us as we navigate the quirks of Reddit's twisted game. In Qualified Nonsense, you shall find both laughter and our shame. I'm Brandon.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
Oh, man. Snaps.
I feel like we needed like a lute or something in the background.
I was actually just thinking that. I was thinking like, I got to put some whimsical tunes behind this.
Some jester like, oh, he's...
if we've got to act together, you're welcome, audience, for the lute and the whimsical sounds before that.
I should have also read it with like an Irish accent or something.
Yeah, that would have been good.
But in full disclosure, in all honesty, I did use ChatGPT to write that. So
you son of a bitch.
The prompt was... an intro to an advice podcast called Qualified Nonsense in the style of a 19th century Irish poem.
Ooh.
And
I'd say it performed pretty well. Good job, chat.
Yeah, well done. Well done. That was really nice. How do we feel about ChatGPT and other...
Stop coming from our jobs.
Yeah, I know. I need this.
I'm for
honestly,
it.
I mean, you ask how we feel about it, and I used to be scared of AI, and I don't like it being shoved down our throats so much. Like, I think Google sucks because of it, but I do think for stuff like that, or I kind of see the fun in it, and I have used it for more fun things like that than like professionally or I guess for more serious purposes.
I found it to be, I agree. It's fun. I do find it useful for business purposes. Specifically, Google has their own Gemini. And with my work, we have a lot of our sales reps that are trying to figure out how to pull merchant statements with merchants that they're sitting in front of so we can run a comparison quote. Uh-huh. And that's come in incredibly helpful. Like, hey, Google, how do I pull a statement for a Clover device? And it just gives you like step-by-step instructions that you're able to, you know, it can make you successful in the field. I do feel there's, you know, nefarious uses for it. I think we've all seen Terminator, but...
sure.
Yeah, I find it useful in a couple of different facets.
Last year, my company turned... Microsoft's on one of theirs autopilot to do things like summarize meetings and stuff. And so watching that in action, it can sort of dictate how a meeting went, which I think is not super new. It is cool in the accessibility sort of field. So people who aren't able to attend, you know, video conferencing meetings normally, for any number of reasons, whether they're hearing or visually impaired, in some way. You know, that's cool that it has that feature. And then also you can, my point being that there are practical uses that I think are pretty neat. But yeah, we were talking before the podcast started a little bit, and you know, we in interview settings, we have to keep an eye out for sort of the shenanigans and the silliness that can come with that.
AI also could have wrapped that up into 5 seconds.
Ugh, listen, AI could have wrapped. I should actually run everything through AI so that I'm just not quite so lengthy.
We should do an entire AI episode.
Well, that's a good idea. Casey Neistat, like that YouTuber in New York, did a whole video that was written by AI. That was kind of funny. It was like, you know, go to an obscure New York location and say this. And it's because he has so much content out there. You guys know who Casey Neistat is?
No.
A YouTuber?
Yeah, he's a
YouTuber. From New York?
From New York. That's really all that needs to be said about that.
I will say I did. Have you guys experimented with AI music at all?
Uh-uh.
So
no.
I downloaded this app called Donna. And I gave it some parameters and it spit out a feature length song that was musically good. I'm not going to play it for you just because of the context, but it was musically fantastic. The lyrics were thought out, but it was a full length, like, you know, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, bridge, I mean, everything. And it spit it out in like 5 minutes. It was incredible. Mm.
What's the licensing on that sort of thing?
I'm not sure.
Can you just use it or? Oh yeah.
I'm not totally sure.
Isn't that kind of the basis for some of the lawsuits against these AI companies, is that they're pulling from copyrighted material and to generate their answers? So, you know, the copyright holders are suing.
Yeah, there was a guy AI. Who just got sent. He got sent to jail for making AI music that reported to an AI generated like counter or something along those lines. So he made a whole boatload of money from things that weren't actually fake and actually weren't registered. So, yeah, I guess that's going back to the nefarious aspect of it. You can use it for bad. You can use anything for bad.
Well, also sure. Like the summarized Google results that Google AI spits out. Like I've found where it examples personally where it's contradicted itself. And like I was trying to see, I saw a video where a woman basically created like a caramel sauce by putting by boiling sweetened condensed milk in the can, mm-hmm. and just boiling the whole can. And so I just Googled, like, is it safe to boil food in a can? And it summarized, it was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not safe for these reasons and this reason. And then it said, alternatively, you can try boiling it in a can. Here's what you do. And like it was telling you not to. Okay. And then it was like, well.
Right.
Was it maybe just not grasping the, like, hey, you should relieve the pressure by opening the lid, but you can still do it in a can kind of a thing?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I also.
We're all going down anyway.
Well, no, for sure.
How was everybody's week?
Oh, you know, still breathing.
It's good. I found something cool. So the last couple of months I've gotten into, and it's going to be pretty ironic because we used to make fun of Jake's brother, Luke, for listening to music that we just thought were like ambient sounds and stuff. Well, come full circle. I'm into ambient sounds and stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Kind of like, I guess more so like spa music. They're just like really long drawn out sounds. And like
you said more... spa, and I definitely heard ska, and I was like, oh,
pick it up.
Mindful meditation.
Yeah, right.
So last couple of months I've been falling asleep to that kind of stuff and whatnot. And I was on social media actually last night and I was like, no, this can't be real. Cause I just saw this individual in concert, which brought back a lot of high school memories. But, so Lil Jon has actually recorded and released 3 albums that are mindful meditations.
Of course he has. That's so
cool. And I actually signed up for his newsletter that he sends every Wednesdays, and they are personalized, and he wants people to write back to him. But he kind of gave just a brief description as to why he got into it. Even though he still performs and he's still very much a hype man, like he'll take 15 minutes before he goes out and starts screaming like, yeah, doing his thing. But he'll take, and I just want to play a little bit of like what that sounds like. So.
When I have to do something that requires my dedicated attention, I turn to meditation. Before I do a DJ set for thousands of people, I know I must bring my A game.
Is that Lil Jon's speaking voice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can still hear him like even talk between his massive grill. You can hear, he's like, you can't get out S's. And that was more the intro. So it's like, he's not like, before I go out and really stir some shit up. No, he's, that's just him doing an introduction as to like why he's doing it. He has a whole separate album. The second one are all affirmations, and they're all pretty great. Like, you are amazing.
Like, that's
I will
cool.
say, however, what happens with Spotify, if you don't set, there's three settings. You can set Spotify to repeat an album. You can set it to repeat a song, or you can leave all that off and it'll continue on with that artist. So
right.
I fell asleep to the first album, and I was actually awoken to Hobby of a Click because that album ended. And it just
hilarious.
Was like, here's Same other music artist. From Lil Jon you might enjoy. And I was like, that's pretty jarring to wake up to. So Spotify, you might want to take a little note on that one.
Yeah, it starts playing his discography, which is like otherwise.
He should have called his album Turn Down for Self-Care.
Oh, that's so good.
I might respond to it. He actually does. He wrote the email. You can tell that it's written by him just based off of how it sounds. But like the introductory one, he was like, write back to me. I'm going to write back to him and say, Turn Down for Self-Care.
Oh, man.
Album number four. I want royalties.
Have you ever, Matt, done a sound bath meditation?
I've not done a sound bath. I did the sleep. I did the sensory deprivation chambers, which are pretty cool.
Yeah.
You'd probably like a sound bath thing, and you know, where they have like the different size bowls and stuff, and they do chanting and stuff, and you lay on your back and they like, you know, tell you to breathe certain ways. And
that would be, that. I would love breathe. That. Ugh. Side note, sound bath definitely does sound like a 90s rock band. You guys going to sound bath tonight?
Yeah, it does. So you don't need one of these to do this, but if you get one of these, it's an Arturia.
Is that the one you blow into?
No. It's just a key. It's like a USB keyboard. Actually, you can do a lot of stuff. There's like a lot of outputs to do like live DJ stuff. But if you get this for like $100, you can, it comes with an Ableton Lite license, and you're able to.
Oh, nice.
And you can make your own sort of like what's so much fun to get like synth pads. And like you totally, can make your own.
I would so abuse it though. Like I would be into it and be like, when I have diarrhea, I like to go to Taco Bell.
No, that's exactly my point, dude. You can do that. You could make
use that power for bad.
It's like what is it? Like a cursed cursed meditation.
I guess we could create our own. It's like, you will subscribe to Kill Qualified Patreon for just $5 for
like,
$5.
And then we have like a specific like bell messages. That like is like a Manchurian Ding. Candidate, like unlock sort of sound.
Yeah,
the brown note.
Oh, I better subscribe.
If you don't subscribe, you will hear the brown note at the end of it. No, but that was it was pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised. So, shout out, Lil Jon.
Shout out, Lil Jon. You know, really, like
actually, as no, a mantra, no shouting,
we
no
should
shouting.
We should be shouting out Lil Jon probably Thanks. Every episode.
Thank you, Lil Jon. Anyway, how was your week, Brandon?
Good. This last Saturday, I went to a Ducks hockey game. Ooh. And that was fun.
Did they do the Flying V?
No.
That's a shame. Missed opportunity.
No, wrong. Not the Mighty Ducks, but the Oregon Ducks.
Oh.
not the Anaheim Ducks, but yeah, no, it was a good time. I think we actually might go to another game this Saturday. It was a lot of fun.
I've been to a hockey game.
Hockey's really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely had a couple fights, and yeah, they slam each other up against the glass, and yeah, it's
what a charming sport that they just have fights like available. I like seeing those highlight clips of NHL stuff. Like, there's one that's been going around lately that happened a few years ago, but the goalie comes out and just like comes center of the ice and just starts smacking his stick on the ground, just like riling up the other side, and everyone's just like throwing off gloves and stuff. It's so good.
Yeah, they
fun fact, that's actually called chirping.
Oh, chirping. He was out there chirping.
So my business partners play hockey, and some of them played professionally, and I'm not really familiar with it, but like learning about the chirping aspect, and like, that's one thing I've always wanted to learn how to do, because it seems like it's its own language. Like, hey bud, you're gonna go out there and be a fucking grocery stick, huh? Be better, be more used than a grocery stick. That's apparently one that like is really big,
a real zinger. Yeah,
like you're as useless as a grocery stick. Yeah. And I think it's like
I don't even know what that means. The
divider that like separates your groceries. It's not really hilarious. Useful.
That is a pretty good. That's a pretty good dig. It's pretty hurtful.
I just love the language.
Have you guys seen?
Yeah, they're.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no! I was gonna say there's just like a lot more athleticism, I guess, watching it than you'd think, because like some of the guys, like when they're skating down the rink, it almost looks like they're running like at full speed, like the way that they're skating.
And like they like can switch so quickly to skating backwards, and their accuracy is so on point. Mm-hmm. It is really impressive.
Well, also when they fall down, they just pop back up. Like, yeah, if I fell down on the ice, I would like need to like pull myself to the side and like
I don't know how to stand back up.
No, I know. I just lay there. I'd be like, well, this is where I live now. I guess I'm a polar bear.
I always wanted to learn how to skate as a kid. I mean, yeah, we grew up in a time where Mighty Ducks was the thing, and I don't know, like it just looks so fun.
Also, I don't know why hockey is like a cool weather sport, because it's freezing in the ice rink. Like, it's so cold. And like, it would make a good, like, summertime sport. Like, but, you come in.
I mean, that's all just it's emissions, right? You're constantly making ice in a temperature where you shouldn't. It's like leaving your freezer door open. Just be like, no, it'll freeze. It'll stay good.
I think the reason why it's a cold weather sport and, like, it's so popular in Canada is because, like,
baseball, they have, like, ponds and things.
It's a nice day. Well, right, but if it's a nice day, you go out and you can play baseball, right? But with hockey, you need it to be fucking cold as shit to be able to support a bunch of people on the ice. Not only ice, but like thick enough ice that people can skate around on it. So,
but it is kind of fun, like getting like bundled up indoors and like.
Oh, I bet. Getting a little hot cocoa.
Be gentle, boys.
They did have. Yeah, they were selling.
You guys calm down. Stop fighting.
They were selling hot cocoa with like green whipped cream for the Ducks. And
yeah, I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Now I want to go watch hockey. Apparently,
you got Brian out there like putting Baileys in there.
And like a little neck warmer and like a little scarf, a little cap with a what's the little pom pom on top?
It is the crowd that went to it was very interesting. It was almost like
people.
It was like a group of people you would see at like a dive bar at 1 a.m, like that kind of.
It's kind of like, I don't want to say a degenerate sport, but it's, I don't know. People talk about it, at least in around me about how accessible it was, but I remember how expensive it was to play. Like sticks were $100.
Oh, yeah.
Ice skates were like $400.
Ton of gear.
Pads were, yeah. And then you have to rent ice time, and then you have to drive to wherever it is that has a rink. But yeah, I think it's one of those like, no, just get on a pond. You don't need to get ice time. I mean, dare I say blue, it's a blue collar sport.
It's definitely a blue collar sport. But you're right. It's an expensive thing to chase down. Speaking of falling on ice, like not being able to get up, like I couldn't get up in like street clothes, but like think about adding like 30 pounds of like shit on and they pop like they're athletes and they don't have any teeth. Which is like crazy. My grandfather used to run the Portland Coliseum when it was the Coliseum, and he was like the general manager for a number of years. And so my mom and family growing up, they like got to meet
the Coliseum whole... still around. That's where the Winterhawks still play.
Yeah, Winterhawks still play there.
Didn't it go through like a big set of changes though? Well, anyway, yeah, it's he used to be the general manager there, and he got to hang, like my mom got to meet all the hockey players when they came through and stuff like that, and they said the same thing, like they were like really friendly guys, but they were like real grizzly and like no teeth and like pretty cool. Have you guys seen Letterkenny?
Oh yeah.
I haven't actually seen it. I've only seen clips here and there, but
it's a great. Brandon, you've seen it, right?
I've seen like a couple episodes, maybe.
Yeah,
I really
seems
enjoy
pretty
it.
Good. I haven't seen the whole show yet, but I'd like to because it
actually, Jake, back in the day with your nose situation, you could have just said, "No, I'm a hockey player." You could have just
son of a bitch.
Could have easily just gone off that one rather like, oh. I broke it because I fell on the bathroom counter or whatever.
Well, wait, that's not okay. For the record, that is not how I broke my nose. I broke my nose playing baseball in the backyard, well, in a yard with some friends, including my brother, and I was tying my shoe in the batter's box, and he tried to get a strike while I was tying my shoe in the batter's box, and he didn't make a strike, but he did connect with my face, so. And that's how it happened. Fuck you, Matt.
So he got a walk instead of a strike.
Hey.
Well, on that.
Yep.
Should we take a break and come back with some Reddits?
Yes, let us.
Certainly.
Minor NWSF or whatever. What is that?
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not work. Safe for.
Safe for. Yeah.
Oh.
Get this man another drink.
Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by a good old PSA. It's been nearly 5 whole years since COVID dropped the mic on the world and left a wake of shit and bad times. It may feel like it's behind us, but rest assured that it's still alive and well. Please do your part to stay healthy and keep the people you interact with healthy as well. Get vaccinated, wear a mask when you're sick, and don't lick the handrails. Thank you.
And we're back. Welcome back to Qualified Nonsense. Feel free to send us an email to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up
again
on our socials. I know I'm doing this off memory. Hopefully I got it right. But yeah, qualifiednonsense@gmail.com. Yeah, or connect with us on our socials on Facebook or Blue Sky or whatever we have now. So, does anybody use Blue Sky? Does anybody have that?
The hell is Blue Sky?
It's like an alternative to Twitter. Like when Elon bought Twitter, a bunch of people migrated to Blue Sky.
And, oh, I didn't even hear about that. I'm pretty out of it, I guess.
So, anyway, I'm not on there, but I'm aware of it. Or check us out on Truth Social.
you should.
So my question comes to us from the Ask Reddit subreddit from username Bobathon TG.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Sir Bobathon. Go on.
My lord.
Bobathon asks, Reddit, what's your most I'm with the boomers on this opinion?
Oh, I heard that phrase today, actually, and I hadn't heard it.
Wait, can you repeat that?
Yeah, so they're asking Reddit, what's your most I'm with the boomers on this opinion?
Oh.
So all of us are millennials, and, you know, like there's a lot of, you know, like, okay, boomer type humor and like sort of making fun of basically like our parents' generation, like baby boomers. And so what opinions do you guys have where you agree, like the boomers were right about this?
Oh, I thought, well, mine's going to be in jest. But first of all, if you have to name yourself Bobathon, I don't understand kids these days. That's my boomer opinion. Bobathon. I've seen a bunch of memes of like old people celebrating after, and it was like people dancing in an old folks home, and it's like boomers after they sell their house for $1.6 million after they bought it for blueberries and a handshake or something. And I mean, my family was fortunate to build the house when we did. So our mortgage is actually pretty fantastic. And I was like, I'm just kind of like, you kids should actually do something with your life. Like,
nice.
Like, don't complain about housing prices. Go make more money.
So you're more of a, I got mine, screw you, sort of mentality.
Yeah. It's like, sorry. Or like,
it sucks to suck. Get good, kid.
It does suck to suck. But there's like also like, just, like kids being born, and it's like me being born instead of investing into my 401k or like buying land in 1996.
I will say, just as a side note, like, you know, people are like, oh, these damn millennials or blah blah blah. Like, millennials are like 45 years old now, so like millennials are middle aged now.
Yeah,
but anyway,
no, that is a good point. And I, you know, I mean, there's generalizations about every age group that you know, are generalizations for just that reason. Like, it oversimplifies, but yeah, you're right. Like millennials are like having back pains on the regular. So everybody settle down.
Just some answers that some people came up with. Unique Football 8839 says, touch screens in cars are a fundamentally bad idea, and physical buttons or similar controls need to be brought back, which is something I do agree with.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that for sure. I hate a touchscreen in a car.
A Neighborhood Kitten says, most people don't train their dogs well enough because they treat them like children. Then they can't handle them when they're reactive and put people and other dogs in danger. That one's not very fun.
That's a real banger.
Inevitable Struggle says, every damn thing is a subscription. Music, subscription, movies, subscription, TV shows, subscription. Heat your ass while you're driving, subscription. Really? Oh, sorry, I'm a boomer. I'll leave now.
I will say one that they like, I'll kind of lean on the no one wants to work anymore kind of thing. Like work ethic, like kids these days kind of shit. It's like everybody wants to be a fucking YouTuber or streamer and make millions of dollars and not really contribute to, I don't know. It's like everybody wants to have the next best thing, or like, I'm going to monetize off of social media and still drive a Lamborghini. I don't know. That's the kind of shit I agree. I agree with boomers on.
Yeah.
Like they want to do that. They want to pursue that instead of like a regular like 9-to-5 job.
Like a W-2, I guess, you know, contribute to. And this is, again, a very boomer thing to say, but like contribute to society. So,
you know, I did see a sort of to counter that point. I did see and this is not new rhetoric, but I did see a post of a 1950s like photograph of a small family, a four person family, and there was a house, there was a car, there was like two young kids and like a decent looking property, and it was a single income household for a factory worker, a Ford factory worker. And granted, Ford was like, you know, at its height, so like that was a good factory job, sure, but I do think that there's a pretty big difference between, you know, what I'm going to call then and now, which is the
it was a completely different country at that time too.
Well, I mean, right.
How we were really getting along, how manufacturing went.
Absolutely. You know? That's the point, right? And so like right now, we're all in dual income households and we're doing as well as we are. And we are probably just about like front and center middle class. Correct me if I'm wrong, or don't. Doesn't matter, but like we're doing well, but we are, you know, we have like, ugh, see, I'm gonna make it depressed, like I'm not good at this fun podcast thing.
I get where you're going, but
we have like systemic privileges that we're already yielding from, like you already mentioned it, Matt, that we are yielding from our parents having, you know, X, Y, and Z.
Like, well, Jake, have you thought about not buying coffee every day, or skipping the avocado toast?
I've been off coffee.
Maybe canceling your Netflix if you're still struggling.
Oh, speaking of subscriptions, you know what? I have a counter to that too. That's the American dream. They've figured out how to generate more money by doing subscription models, and because of the technology being what it is, like that's it. That's the natural progression of
that's your boomer. How they get you. I tried to log on to Amazon and buy a toothpaste, and they made me buy 30 days worth.
No, we went across the oceans and fought and killed millions of people to sustain capitalism. And so this is the offspring of that success.
What about you, Brandon? What's your boomer?
See, I'm a lot of fun to be around.
I do agree that there are too many streaming channels, and they're getting to be too expensive. I do think physical menus are better than QR codes. Like when you go to a restaurant, I'd rather see a physical menu rather than have to scan a code on my phone. I love a good
physical menu.
Yeah.
Functionality with a phone is pretty nice.
Yeah, it is nice the server drops off your check or whatever, and you can just scan it and pay your bill there without having to like wait for them to come back with to get your card and then blah, 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 all this stuff.
I like to see all those bleached Chinese food menus.
Oh, the menus when you open, it's like the pages are stuck together.
Like the shrimp is like white.
This place sounds good.
That's how you know it's good. I mean, I think that's one of the telltale things of like how you know it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be getting seconds.
And you like have enough for a meal the next day, and your whole meal was like under $10. Yeah, I do think another boomer opinion I have is that things aren't built the way they used to be. I think both also in form and function, just things are crappier as far as quality goes, and also uglier. Like things like back, you know, look at cars. Cars are a perfect example. 60 years ago, cars were beautiful. Now they're just ugly boxes. And I know a lot of that has to do with like aerodynamics and blah, 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 but like, fuel efficiency and things like that, but
it's aerodynamic. I had that same thought, but yeah, they looked, you know, super classy.
But even like houses and buildings, Like, oh, now, yeah, whenever a new building is constructed, it's just a gray box. Whereas, like, houses and newer buildings from 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, like, had some sort of design and looked cool. I don't know.
We talked about this in another episode, but this, I do wonder how much of it has to do with, like, get it built quickly and
as cheaply as possible.
As quickly, yeah, as quickly as possible so that they can start getting the yields from it immediately. And the juxtaposed with the, I'm going to start this project now and my grandchildren might be around to finish it, which that's where the sort of like embellishment of like design and sort of craftsmanship comes from. To your point about like things aren't being made as well anymore, do you find that your behavior with things that aren't made very well changes? So my point being that like I've found in myself that I've treated things that I know are cheap and that are easily replaceable with like in a more like cavalier way and not taking as good of care of them. Do you guys find
I'm the exact opposite, because if I paid for it, I'm going to pinch that penny and I'm going to get everything out of it. So I'm going to baby it, take care of it.
Good for you.
I kind of agree with you, Jake, because like if it's like, oh, these headphones were only $20 if they die, I don't care. Or if I lose them or whatever, I'm not going to be very careful with them. I can get another pair. But versus if I did buy like a $300 pair of headphones or whatever, I might be a little more cautious. But
yeah.
Speaking of paying for things, I know this is going to sound weird as a guy who owns a merchant services company, but the whole, what, we don't pay with cash anymore? I'm a fan of cash. I think there's a lot of benefits to paying that way.
Because you got all those singles coming out of your belt.
Well, I think it's good for a couple of different reasons. One is, I mean, increased identity theft and the like complete. There's so many different ways you can pay now, all on a digital basis. That things are only getting more unsecure as you. I don't want to say they're getting more insecure. It's when you launch something, it's always going to have issues and you're going to have to troubleshoot. So when you, especially when it's attached to people's bank accounts, I think it like being able to pay with not just a debit card, but your phone or your watch has really decreased our generation's ability to budget because you don't see what it is. It's all just a currency that's out there. And I think it's gotten, I think it's just that immediate gratification, whatever, it's there, I paid for it. But, if you're paying $10 or $5 a day for coffee and you're not physically handing over that money, there's, I think, an inherent mentality of just like, it's there, I have it, it's gone now.
There's no repercussion. There's no like, extra thought. It's so easy to do that you don't have to, like, unless you're diligent on budgeting or like, balancing your budget at the end of the month or the quarter or whatever it is.
That is something that also I do kind of feel boomery about, is I do feel more suspicious about like running my card at certain places and like I'd rather just pay cash and not, have to worry about, is there like a card skimmer or something in this machine?
It's funny because one of the products that we offer is the cash discount program, which gas stations have utilized for decades, right? You have a credit price and then you have a cash price.
Right.
And it actually encourages your consumer to pay in cash because they get a discount. And I prefer that method as much as I can.
Another opinion. Also, I think concerts or events should start earlier. I hate going to something and it's like 8 o'clock at night. I think start at like 5 p.m.
I will say for weekend concerts, absolutely.
Start at noon.
If there's an option, like if I'm going to see a play or whatever and there's an option for a matinee, I will always choose the matinee.
You'll also get the better voices. They won't be tired for the second.
Yeah, but you sometimes get the B team.
True. But I also
But you still get really the same funny. Point. It's the same show. Actually, you know?
Yeah,
they say the same words.
Now that you say that, Brandon, I want the kids to get out of my yard. You know what I'm saying?
You see this ball? You see this ball? It's mine now.
Also, music in bars is too loud.
That's good.
No. Actually, I do think that I hate when you go somewhere and it's like, I can't even hear what the person next to me is saying.
Also, this room is drafty.
I have to turn up my hearing aid and that's just going to kill the battery.
I'm going to cause feedback. Actually,
you know, that's a good point because we're talking about aging. You know, in old folks' homes right now, they're still playing like old television, like reruns, that sort of thing, like I Love Lucy and shit like that. When we're in old folks' homes, it's going to be fucking like Friends and like
Full House.
That stuff's already on Nick at Night. Like when we were kids, it was like I Love Lucy and things, and then now it's
can you imagine just knowing it's gonna be when we're trying to watch the TV and we can't hear it and Urkel comes in and like it's turned all the way up, he's like, did I do that?
I want to die.
Like old folks homes, it's like oh, we're doing like a senior prom or whatever, senior dance, and they're playing like Glenn Miller or whatever, and we're gonna have like but like corn or whatever, like
that'll be pretty. Yeah,
just put a bullet in the back of my head.
I mean,
it's fucking terrible.
All the things follow us though, so like we will have 90s nights in the old folks homes. It's like, oh, here's your slap bracelet, and it like it fractures somebody's wrist that has osteoporosis or something. Like, don't get that has metal in it. I'm on blood thinners. I can't get cut.
Jesus Christ. Guys, I'm not looking forward to this at all.
I can't wait.
Speaking of, can you guys do a good, like, Anthony Kiedis corn impression?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I can.
I mean, you just did it. That's what I was. Yeah, that's what I would have done.
All right, who's next?
It better be me. Hi, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us.
Sticking around.
Okay. So this is
Jason.
Jesus. You could turn it up to play back at 1.5 or 2 times if you want to, because it's going to take a minute.
If your light's dim, you're really going to want to get dreary for this.
Jesus. Okay, so this is from Shower Thoughts, because that's where we are right now. And this is from the good user ZJM555. And they say the higher you go up a stairwell, the fewer germs are on the railing.
I saw this one.
Yeah, and I you know,
I disagree. Think,
oh, that's it. I'm so glad you have a strong opinion about this. Let's hear it, Matthew.
So I disagree, because if you're going up a stairwell, that means that you're going to a destination, which means you have to come back down. So wherever you were, there were people as well. So they're just spreading it all the way down. I would argue that it's consistent amount of germs on a stairwell. Okay. If you go up, you got to come down.
Sure, but
so let's assume it's an apartment building and there's 50 units. Yeah. So you go up to the top floor. You're up there, you're doing your thing, you have more people that come up, you're mixing germs, and there's just as many, you have to go down that same stairwell again, there's just as many germs.
Right, but not as many people are going to 50 as, they drop off, like, as you climb the stairs, they drop off because they've hit their floor.
I don't know, I saw that one, I was like, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, so someone said... Let's see who did. Oh shit! I didn't write down who had the top comment, but they were saying how Well, so they were saying like you might have more stamina at the bottom flights, but then like as you go up the stairs, you have to hold on to the railing, and so perhaps there's like a bell curve or something like that. And then, you know, certain people said like, well, not my neighbor, because they're a piece of shit and 90% of the germs are coming from there. You probably don't need the railing at the bottom. Oh yeah, this is the person that said like the bell curve sort of thing. But then it made me start thinking about germs and how since COVID, basically, I've treated germs differently than I did before COVID. Have you treated germs differently before, like as you did before COVID versus now?
I mean, so I still don't wash my hands after I pee, but
like straight up, not even a little bit.
I'm kidding.
Plenty of people do. That wasn't going to be coming from.
I had somebody I heard somebody give a dead ass real answer, like in a workplace environment. Their opinion was, and I forget because it was a female and a male that came in, and he was like, "No, I didn't wash my hands. If I don't touch it, I don't wash it." And she's like, "Well, that must be so nice for you, blah 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 blah." But yeah, I saw somebody like legitimately say, "If I don't touch it, I don't wash."
How do you do? Maybe I just have a small penis. how do you pee without?
I mean, in a urinal.
Yeah. I don't know.
You could
get it out.
Yeah, but you don't have to touch it to get it out.
Oh shit! Do you guys go over the waistband or through the dick hole?
No, I don't.
I go through the barn door.
You do?
Yeah,
you're such a man.
I wear boxer briefs, so I don't have the slot. I have to go over the elastic. I wear boxer briefs
too, and they have the slot.
I don't got no slots.
He's got those closed barn doors.
The ball huggers.
Banana hammocks. Yeah.
But you don't have to touch it. And then when you want to, you know, I guess flick it or whatever.
Shake it off.
Shake it. You
flick
just,
it.
You just bounce it on the elastic like it's on a trampoline and then just pull it away.
Like it's on a trampoline. You are a true mental image artist.
Fun fact, they used to be called jumpalines until your mom jumped on one.
God damn.
Okay. I'm kidding.
Savage. Hurtful. Hurt my feelings.
I've been waiting to use that one for a very long time.
Well, I got you. Don't you worry. Brandon, we were talking about the flight of stairs, and then we were talking about how you as an individual have interacted with germs or like knowing that germs are around before and after COVID. And if your like behaviors have changed at all, but also about generally the actual railing.
I mean,
question.
Like a, railing question. I know COVID still exists obviously, cause I got it not that long ago for the first time, but, honestly, finally. Like my behavior hasn't really changed a lot. I am a little bit more like if an area is like really crowded or I'm around a lot of people, I do get like I'm kind of like scanning the crowd, like, okay, who's coughing, who, you know, like kind of like that. But for the most part, I'm not like, you know, obsessively compulsively washing my hands or, like my wife is a big germaphobe, and so
I didn't know that.
Like she's always like squirting hand sanitizer into my hands like before we like share food or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
I love her, she's so great. I could picture
but, sorry that sweetie if like, you do, if you hadn't had it already, you're gonna get it again.
But yeah I mean I'm not the biggest germaphobe. Like I'll eat stuff off the floor, you know, if
I'll eat the cat poop.
No, like if like a chip falls on the floor or whatever, I'll pick it up and eat it, or you know,
yeah, if like a if like your whole ice cream cone falls on the floor,
you'll yeah, pick it up. If it's like my
spilled you know, cocktail Salisbury I'll get the straw.
Falls on the floor or whatever,
I will say like yeah. I think everybody's attitude kind of changed during the pandemic just because it kind of had to,
yeah,
but I feel like I was kind of quick to abandon it. Like I would walk around my house just spraying doorknobs with Lysol. Realizing yeah. like I don't think it's really doing that much in the end, yeah. But also like my I think my attitude towards germs have changed after kids. Like the first kid is don't get sick, don't breathe on her, like right, right. And now the second one is like, you know, like Brandon's like, oh, your hot dog fell on the ground, just all right, here, just finish it.
Well, I mean, at a certain point it's like it's kind of futile to try to resist it so much, like especially with children, like you're not going to be able to watch them at all times and you know see who they're playing with or see you know see yeah. if they're around sick kids or whatever. So
it's also not necessarily great for your immune system to like be afraid like of everything all the time, yeah. Yeah, it's like it needs to have to be that like, in
hermetically in... sealed and yeah
yeah.
Yeah, I will say for myself, I did notice a change in behavior, but like, or maybe less of a change in behavior and more like what you were talking about, Brandon, which was like, it's a thought process. It occupies more of my brain. But did you guys see, Anne and I watched Contagion while we were in lockdown, like 2021 or like late 2020? And we're like, wow, this is a bad idea. But it was interesting to see that they had all the terminology that we were using in that movie. But yeah, I do think about it a lot. I don't necessarily do anything about it, but it does occupy a lot of my brain.
Isn't it weird that we did that shit? Like, we watched Outbreak, Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, kind of, not really the Contagion, but still along the same lines of, look, this is affecting everything. And I was like, why do we do that to ourselves? Like, you know, it seems like a good idea. Let's watch that shit where everything goes bad. And we're kind of facing a
zombie
ourselves.
Movie.
Yeah, a little bit of torture for ourselves.
Yeah. It's like there should have been like an uptick in like Jackass streaming or something.
Right, exactly. Brandon, we were also talking about with the original Reddit question, which was that there's a potential for a bell curve because people who are climbing flights of stairs like we'll need to use the banisters and the handrails more at the further up you go, because you'll need the mm-hmm. assistance in like walking. I also thought about,
so does that mean the people,
go ahead.
I was going to say, does that mean the people at the top are healthier because they're in contact with a handrail the whole way up? Plus they're taking the full flight of stairs. So just physically they're in better shape, but also their bodies come into contact more with the germs. And so they're just stronger people overall.
I like that thought process. I was also going to mention the socioeconomic side, which is like, if it's a walk up, so if it's a multi-floored building, then if it has an elevator, the more expensive apartments are on top, but the less expensive, But in a non-elevator situation, the less expensive units are probably further towards the bottom. Top. No, I would say on the top, because the bottom is the desirable place to be. Because if you have to walk up all those flights of stairs to get to, you know, whatever floor. So I wonder if... Well, anyway, in that bell curve, I wonder how socioeconomic standing and like...
How many... I mean, Jake,
you're diving too far into it at that point.
How many of those buildings have been like? How many of those buildings have been like retrofitted with an elevator, like just due to ADA stuff, or do they have like exemptions that?
There's plenty in New York. I mean, granted, this is New York, so like whatever. But like that I know of, there's heaps in New York that are just walk-ups that are still like 6, 8, 10 flights of stairs, like or rather stories, which is bananas. People move in and out of those. It's like, what? And like, actually, you see in bigger buildings, you see cranes. Like they hire, you have to hire cranes, and they put your couch through the window, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I would just like move in with like a folding chair, and that's it.
No, 100%. Yeah, exactly. A blow up chair and a cot.
Evicted? Aw, here we go. Yeah.
Well, see ya. You've got those little like the stick and like the rec sack on the end. It'd be like
the bindle.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, you ready for mine?
I'm ready.
So, I had been going down the shower thoughts lately, and I went down a slightly different one called stoner thoughts. And I picked this one.
Why did you do that?
Mm-hmm. So you can also declare your level of sobriety when you're posting. And this individual declared themselves completely sober. Oh. But I picked this for a couple different reasons, because we're theater kids and we have also performed. And it's kind of like the basis of where I'm coming from with where I identify with this.
Okay.
But it says people are more likely to be their true selves when wearing a mask, completely sober. The detail to this was, I was thinking of Lucius Malfoy's line to Voldemort about when his true mask being his real face. And it got me thinking about crooks and heroes wearing masks when they do what and act how they truly want to without fear of recognition. Also Bruce Wayne just being a cover persona for Batman more so than vice versa. So I was thinking more so like I see where people like musicians will wear sunglasses. They'll have like big hats and stuff. And it's like, as much as I guess I consider myself extroverted and we were all theater and we like to perform, but I could easily see, and I believe I have to some degree hid behind hats and glasses because I feel like I can only see myself kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Which does kind of force me to be my true self. I guess it allows me to have the confidence to be my true self.
Well, we all wear masks, metaphorically speaking.
Oh, yeah, shit. There it is.
That's deep. That's deep.
Spoken.
I mean, I think there's a physical element to it. Like having that, albeit like metaphorical, but like temporary.
Well, also, could this be like a mask being like people are more themselves, like if they have been drinking, like the things that they say are more like true to mm-hmm. what their beliefs are, or somebody's high or whatever, and what they're saying is more booze or whatever is sort of a mask in a way.
Yeah, I guess I could see that too, like, oh, you know, Brandon, you explored stand up for a bit. I mean, a lot of those guys have personas that they have. And you could call that a mask that they don't, that's not really truly who they are, even though they're not wearing anything. But kind of putting on an identity.
Yeah.
And then you're somebody else behind closed doors.
I mean, I think from an having been a successful actor, there is an element to that, like the acting in someone else's script, which is the vast majority of actors. And even if it's your own script, like it's a character, the words are like act as sort of a mask. And so you're free to be the character because they're not authentically your words, and you can sort of have that buffer between you and the real world. I think that's how a lot of actors get to the place that they're able to get to put on like, you know, convincing performances. But I think also like physical barriers are significant.
Do you feel like in the acting capacity, it's kind of the opposite? You know, you say like, oh, you put on a mask so you can be who you truly are. You walk away from that and then you are who you truly are. Like if you're acting though, I could view it as like, that's a character that I could get behind and that's like my true self. I'm allowing myself to be creative and my true self or whatever. And then you turn that character off and then you go home.
Mm-hmm.
But could you see it the opposite, as you go home and you don't feel like your true self unless you're acting?
Honestly, I think...
Is that just like a sociopath kind of a thought?
Less of a sociopath, but probably that person needs therapy, because... And that's from a completely uneducated standpoint, but I think that needs therapy, probably not. That's dramatic. But like, if you find comfort in being in someone else's situation or skin, with regard to like the performance, that's fine. But that probably just means that you're. And then you find discomfort when you go to your real life. That probably means that your real life needs some work, and acting, while you might be good at it and you might be successful at it, that might be like an escape mechanism, or like a, you know, like a self-preservation mechanic for you to be able to sustain yourself outside in your real life.
Also, you hear the people that say like, oh, for those whatever seconds I'm doing a race, or I'm, you know, doing whatever, I'm free. Uh-huh. You know, like that is their escape, and it makes them feel like they're their true self and they can relax. Sure. What if it is like, you know, for those 2 hours I'm on stage at night, I feel free no matter what the character is, but I'm putting myself out there and I feel comfortable about myself by being somebody else. You still think that's the therapy necessity?
Well, not necessarily a therapy necessity, but probably in and itself a therapy to a degree, because if you sort of drag that out to its natural conclusion, that means that they find discomfort in their normal life in some capacity. Like if they're truly free when they're on stage performing, you know, someone else's words or someone else's look or something like that, then they feel like great discomfort or even like just not as much freedom in their normal life, I don't know. I would encourage that person to talk to somebody, just because like, hopefully I would love for that person to have that same feeling in their real life. That's not to discount or discredit like the joy that they feel performing. I don't know why I went so downer with it, but it does. Oh, battery ran out on my light. But yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting subject to talk about, because it's.
What do you think, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, you can construe wearing a mask to be a lot of different things. And that could be like, oh, I dress a certain way because that's what makes me comfortable and that's how I express myself. Or I am really into this hobby or whatever because that's how I express myself. Or like, I think like a big part of like drag is like this, like...
All you people going to drag brunches, you need therapy, according to Jake.
Well, that's an oversimplification. But...
I'm kidding.
Well, no, I mean, I think, you know, like it's true to a certain extent. Like we want to be, I don't know. I think there are people who... Well, I don't know. I'm the more I'm thinking about it, I would say like using drag as an example, like are people who perform drag, are there characters that they're performing? Is that their true selves, or are they just doing that for fun? Yeah. Or like the guys who dress up in like the grunt style shirts with like big belt buckles and like those square toed like cowboy boots, is that truly them, or are they trying to play a part that they think they need to play, you know, like
I don't know, like something, it's like going back to acting, I guess, like when we were acting, I found it really enjoyable and kind of like was able to let myself loose or let myself go or explore a certain amount of creativity by being a character. So to that degree, I felt like myself, like I was able to express myself creatively by being somebody else. Even one of those was like slightly racist. I don't know. I like
slightly.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt a certain amount of like calm and quiet by being able to go out there and be something else that people enjoyed, or at least I hope they enjoyed.
Yeah.
And they found believable. And then you walk away and it's like, you don't have to walk away and necessarily go back to your old self or your uninteresting self or your unfulfilled self. It's seeing that somebody else enjoyed it. That was fulfilling to me to be my true self out there being creative, kind of a thing. And I think that goes with like musicians too. Like musicians put on a bunch of facades and maybe, you know, they walk away and, you know, I don't know, Slash is not this big tough person, and he is actually not, right? He's a animal activist and vegetarian now, and he's not some big punk hard rock. Even though he puts on that persona, you know that he in the audience enjoys it, and I think he gets a certain amount of enjoyment out of that, like walking away, but he also gets to be, at the end of the day, I'm done, I'm going back to my life.
Yeah, I do kind of want to walk back my statement about people needing therapy. Like, I think that there's a lot of things that people can do to improve their quality of life that are not, that's like self-soothing or like self-therapizing. Not therapy. I don't even know why. I'm not qualified to say anything about therapy, frankly. But I think it's important to do things that you find fulfilling or enriching in your life. Whether it's, you know, going on a walk or being in performances.
Sorry.
I started talking and Matt's like, ugh, I'm going to watch some videos.
Scroll TikTok.
I had a notification and it opened back up to where. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean to be accusatory in that way. I do think that finding things that you enjoy doing that, and a lot of times, like we all need escapism, because like a lot of like normal life can be and is by definition mundane.
I think if you don't have a form of escapism, you need to talk to some, because that just tells me that
no,
like,
you're that's a,
if
that's
you don't a, have some form that says like you're not chasing something that you find interesting or a passion or a hobby. I mean, that's what they all are, right? I mean, you sit down and play guitar because you get to not be in your own world for a minute and you're in that world.
Yeah.
Or you get to sit down and read a book and you leave our world and you get into that book. Like,
yeah.
Well, and it is, you know, like maybe like your true self is a lot more of an introvert and you do like just, you know, reading books at home alone with a cat on your lap or whatever. Like,
yeah,
maybe
it's totally great,
but that doesn't mean you still can't enjoy being the rock star or being the, you know, world-class athlete or being the stand-up comedian or whatever. I think that just because you do, you know, you do have those facets to your personality where you can perform or you can, you know, adapt to certain situations. I don't think that necessarily means that that's who you truly are.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
your video was frozen with your eyes. Really big, but yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And, you know, bringing it full circle back to technology, I think that people didn't consider the wide berth of possibilities that a human life can sort of like undergo. And the internet and YouTube, frankly, and TikTok and Instagram reels and whatever, YouTube reels and whatever, like it's sort of shown that there are so like way, way more things in life that you can do that you may not have normally been exposed to. And I feel like there's probably
people are into some fucked up shit too.
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, there's that direction.
Strange.
Well, but there's also like hobbies and stuff that people would have normally not, that are not like.
Anyway, there's a credit for that. No. Yes, I'm 18.
Yes, I'm 18. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think that because of the internet, it's sort of allowed for a lot more visibility into different things that people then suddenly find themselves interested in and want to express themselves in.
I am truthful though by saying like I said it jokingly, but it is impressive you'll often hear like, oh, there's a market for everything. There's a market for everything. Like feet pictures took off, right? Like there's a whole world of people that are into feet. But like, for example,
don't I know it?
Yeah. Like I found this guy who he's a rock stacker. That's what he like, but there's a convention. Did I already talk about this?
No.
There's a convention that people attend. It's small, but the fact that there's at least more than 15 people that do this, I find fascinating. But they like get these gems and these stones and they go out and like they cure it with like this meditation. Like it's a very, again, thoughtfulness kind of a thing, coming back to that. But these people are like, they're getting rocks and they're stacking them, and they're just rocks that they normally pick up, and they stack them in these most beautiful, incredible ways. But I was like, huh, sure, that guy's kind of strange. But no, there's like 800 people over here that are into this, and there's this convention at whatever hotel. But I don't know. Yeah, the internet's been a pretty crazy tool for that.
Yeah.
Well, something I've been thinking during this conversation is, do you think that you owe others expressing your true self? Like, do you think, do you feel like that is for public consumption, or that that you should be, like, if you are a certain way, like, do you think that, but you're, you know, known to be, you know, if you're X, but, you know, with around your friends or family or public or work or whatever, you're Y, do you owe any group of people?
You're right. I should wear the gimp suit to, I'm going to wear the gimp suit to Thanksgiving so I can really tell my family who I truly am. Nice. Nice. I get what you're saying. I think it's important to be true to who you are, but it's also kind of your journey. You know, I think if there's something unique about yourself and you want to share it with the world, absolutely put it out there. But again, only if you want to. But we might find, or we might discover something that we never knew that we would be into. So I think it's a little, if you have a gift or a talent or something unique that you want to share, I think it's good for the world to know.
Yeah, I think that social media and marketing have added pressure. I know that all of my hobbies, although I haven't actually monetized anything, I know in the back of my mind, there's like a, I should be, if I'm spending time with this, I should be monetizing it in some way. And even though that's not like a, I haven't acted on that, like even this program, like even this podcast, there's an element that we're like, just in the back of our minds, like people, so I guess my point is like people can do things professionally and have an outward facing version of whatever their hobby is, or whatever their true self is, or whatever that manifests as. And it's with social media, there's like, at least for me, there's a added pressure of me being like, well, if I'm spending money doing this, like what's the return on investment? And then what's the, you know, end goal? What's the point? Can I make money off of this? Am I just wasting my time? And that's sort of where I end up spiraling out to. And frankly, like, I don't have a lot of hobbies. I like, you know, as you guys know, like I like gadgets and stuff. I like like, you know, I've got fucking guitars on the wall that I don't play, and, you know, all kinds of shit that I'm like, oh, you know, what's the return on investment on all these things, instead of just like taking it up for taking it up's sake. So I do think it's just me. The long-winded version of answering that question is that I think that there's a pressure because of social media that everyone's like, hey, look what I'm doing. I'm making a video about it.
That's the whole thing, right? It's like, my life is so great and awesome. Yours could right. be too, or yours should be.
Right. And I think there's an importance.
But also to like and subscribe and be here and watch everything that I do.
They're like, you right. can't just
it's a little, it's go like a, out. It's like a double-edged sword.
A walk in nature without documenting it or
right whatever. Right and yeah. and there is that element that's sort of an intrusive thought for me that, you know, should I be doing something to make money off of this, or should I be taking advantage of this marketing situation? And I do wish that that element would turn off, because I don't think the long-winded version of me saying I don't think that it's necessary. In fact, it's probably very important for a lot of people not to use it as a money-making opportunity or a business opportunity, to just do the thing and learn a skill, or, you know, take on an endeavor of some sort, and just live it, just be in the moment and be present with that, and just chill out. This is actually, thank you for attending my own therapy session about myself. Like, I'm just fucking chill.
I gotta agree. I agree.
That was excellent. What a good button.
Yeah, I agree to a certain degree. I think it's, I do think it's important if, like, you have a creative thing that you want to put out on social media, for example, like, this is, you know, quirky, unique. I think I add value. I find it very creative. Put it out there for sure if you want to, but lose that mentality, because it's not, I mean, if you're like, oh, sweet, now I'm going to go viral and blah, 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 blah. It's likely to not happen. All the viral stuff goes viral when it's in the moment and just real. So
yeah, actually,
enjoy it, but don't be a slave to it.
An example of that is something I heard is that the Too Many Cooks video came out 10 years ago, and it showed up just randomly, like unscheduled, on Adult Swim at 4 a.m. I guess it was scheduled, but like unannounced, just at 4 a.m. And then all of a sudden this kind of weird 11-minute video, is kind of funny, like just became this like viral sensation that, like, you know, who could have predicted that? So yeah, it is like just random stuff.
Yeah.
Stop trying so hard. Well, that's all I got. Let's all go put on a mask and just pretend.
Oh, that's other right. People. That was the initial question. I do think people put on masks to as a.
It wasn't even a question. It was a statement.
Like,
people are more likely to be their true selves when wearing a mask.
It does help with crime.
If you think of the mask of the internet, like a ton of people show their cards in with the anonymity of the internet, of like, you know, host name or not host names, you know, like user handles username. And stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I found this one interesting. It actually didn't have any engagement on it. But I found it to be interesting.
Well, we engaged the fuck out of it. So
also, I mean,
nice job, team.
Completely separate conversation, but we don't have time for. I would get into talking about Batman and Bruce Wayne, but it doesn't matter.
Ooh, yeah, I'm into that. Let's schedule that up. I'm for,
the next not round. Familiar with Lucius Malfoy or Voldemort or any of that, but
it was. I will say my questions on a very again, this thread is called Stoner Thoughts. The second one was, and I'll leave you with this. You can think about this until next week. Yes. If you were Neo in the Matrix and took both the blue pill and the red pill at the same time, .. What do you think would happen?
That's pretty funny. I like that.
Purple pill.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, you'd definitely shit for sure. That's the
like, brown note. We didn't test that one.
You
just like implants.
Hear your heartburn. All right. Well, that's been another episode. Where's mine?
Log it.
I'll just do this on the fly.
We're just here so we don't get fined.
Yeah, feel free to drop us a line, qualifiednonsense@gmail.com. Hit us up on our socials. I don't know the handles anymore.
This is where the music kicks in.
Yeah. It's our socials, but guess what? We're not putting our heart and soul into it. We're going to go viral because we don't really care.
Yeah, this is our true selves.
Yeah, this is our mask, as it were. But until next week, we'll see you. We'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Hey, thanks for lasting, if you did.
That's what she said.